for this reason. I had this interaction as a much younger man. I started leading worship when I was about Kai's age. I tell him that all the time. I'm grooming him up to be a worship leader and getting him ready. And I had this man walk up to me. Now, at that age, you're very impressionable. And he came up to me and he said, you know, the whole worship thing, I kind of feel like that's for ladies and that's for emotional people. And that statement really bothered me. It stuck with me for some time. And it drove me to begin to really read God's word and to engage in what it said about worship and thanksgiving. Amen. Sometimes God can use stuff like that to kind of prod us on, to dig a little deeper. And I remember reading this, that God is enthroned in the praises of his people. And here's what that means. You can be in a difficult spot. You can be, let's put it this way, you can be in a difficult spot in your marriage, and you can begin to worship God. You can begin to praise God. You can begin to lift him up, and he literally takes his place. He takes his throne, and he begins to give direction from that throne, direction that you need, direction, healing that I need. So worship isn't about emotion. It's not about a gender. It's not about touchy-feely people. It's about giving God the praise. It's a call from a king. He says, when you worship me, when you praise me, you put me in my proper place. And so this morning as we worship, you might have a kind of fuzzy, kind of bubbly feeling. How many of you felt like that this morning? You kind of start to get that feeling. It's because you're giving God the place that he deserves. You're not giving your issues a throne. You're not giving your problems a throne. You're not giving your circumstances a throne. You're giving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords his throne. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So with that in mind, will you turn your Bibles this morning, if you have it, if you want to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. And I want to read this to you. One day, the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elijah and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead. And you know how we feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons." And I can read that again because I think that's a profound verse of scripture. This woman loses her husband, and she says to the man of God, she says to the prophet, she says, "Listen, I want you to know, Elijah, that my husband was a good man. That he wasn't a scallywag. He didn't do the wrong thing. He served the house of the Lord, and he's dead." He's basically telling Elijah, "Listen, he was a good dude, and he's dead." And I want to point out in that I think we're raised in church to believe that if we attend services and if we go to Bible study and if we tithe and if we give our offerings, that nothing bad can happen. And I want to tell you this morning, bad things happen to great people this morning, okay? The rain falls on the just and on the unjust the same. The Bible says that things just happen. And I saw this picture one time and I kept it. And I kind of like it. The rain falls on the just. Good people have bad things happen to them. Amen? And I want to move and I want to read this second verse. Elijah's response is this. He says, "What can I do to help you?" Elijah asked. "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She responds and says, "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elijah said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends, from your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour the olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she says she did as he told her. Her sons kept bringing the jars, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons, and the son replied, "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God, when she told Elijah what had happened, he said to her, "Now go sell the olive oil, pay your debts, you and your sons can live on whatever's left over. Are you with me? We're going to move to verse 8 now. This is a totally different story, but with the prophet Elijah still involved. Are you with me? One day Elijah went to a town called Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, so we went from a poor woman. Now we're going to talk about a wealthy woman. She urged him to come over for a meal after that whenever he passed by that way. He would stop there for something to eat. The woman said, come to the house. Eat. I want to bless you. She said to her husband, I am sure this man who stops in from time to time, he's a holy man of God. She says, Elijah's holy. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, and a chair. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. I want to talk about both of these women this morning. I've heard, you know, being in church my whole life, I've heard both of these stories preached in different contexts, but I want to preach this morning both stories butted up against each other. I want you to keep that in your mind, and I want to pray before we do so. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, in Jesus' name, if I preach this morning, Lord, I won't do you justice, I won't do your people justice, but Father, if you preach this morning, if you'll use me as your vessel, if you'll use these lips, these eyes, these ears to communicate your words, Father, in this place this morning. Your servant listens. I listen to you this morning. I listen to your spirit. I'll communicate your words this morning. Father, have your way in the midst of us this morning. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Change our spirits. Would you say amen? Amen. Elijah is a man of God. God takes care of him. Follow his life. Read on Elijah. God feeds and provides for him through the generosity of people. And I love the scripture. I love the word of God because it depicts something. It shows that Elijah, that God uses wealthy people and he uses not so wealthy people. He uses normal, everyday people to provide his needs. In fact, in most cases in the scripture, God used normal, everyday people to provide his needs. Do I have some everyday people in the room here? I'm one of them. And I love that. And the Bible says, in the proverb, it says that the generous man will be made fat. Proverbs 11 says that. I love that word. And I know it's not in style today to be fat, but I do want to point something out that in this scripture it says the generous will be made fat. And I think this is fitting today. The scripture actually means if you have a generous soul, it will show in your life. Are you following me? It says that their souls will be made fat, not their bank accounts. It doesn't say, if you're generous, I'll make you rich. It says, if you're generous, I'll make your soul fat. I'll make you happy. I'll make you joyous. I'll make you blessed. And what he says is if I can find a person who says stuff like this, if I get the opportunity, God, if you'll give me the opportunity, I'll bless you in this way. If you'll give me a chance, if you'll trust me enough to give me this resource, I'd do this thing over here for you. I'd take care of this thing over for you. And what he does is then he begins to bless people to test people. Hello. And here's what happens. You see two categories of people. They get blessed, and some people forget about God. Some people, it's a process. It's a thought process. It goes to their head, and on you go. But some people, you watch them get blessed, and the oil begins to flow, and it never stops. Because he'll flow to people he can flow through. And I've seen it happen in church many, many times. I could give you example after example. I think of Brad Trzyski. He's over next door with my wife this morning and the kids next door. And I think of a guy like him. When he came in here, he was on the brink of bankruptcy. He was on the verge of destruction. He smelled like marijuana. You could smell it from the pulpit all the way. He was probably 15 rows back. And God began to mentor him. God began to bless him, he began to flow through him. And it's not my business to share everything he's got going on, but I'm telling you, that kid is blessed. He'll bless you to test you sometimes. That's a word for someone. The first woman in the text, she falls on hard times. She goes through a difficult time like so many have. I remember a time when the McDonald's fell on a tough time like this woman. I remember the day this picture was taken. I don't even know how old I was. How old do I look? I'm on the right there doing some goofy thing to my mother. I was probably 10 years old, right? It's probably 10 years old. How many of you know that sometimes when you go to a food kitchen or a food bank, you get a bag of potatoes, and my mother would come home with a bag of potatoes and a can full of beans, and the potatoes, they were them kind of potatoes that had the sprouts coming out. You know what I'm talking about? And you had to cut the sprouts out off the side. And I said to my mother, What are them things? Oh, that's just extra that we don't need. Let me cut this off. This is going to be wonderful. I remember those moments. How many of you, you can identify with that just a little bit? Oh, a few of you. And you go through tough times. You go through issues. You go through problems. We're right there. We were in the midst of it. I remember it was Christmas time. This photo was taken in Seattle, Washington. We were living in an apartment complex. My parents didn't have two pennies to rub together. They didn't know where Christmas gifts were coming from. Kind of like some people in this room right now. You don't know what's going to happen. At Christmas, you don't know what's going to go on in Christmas. You're crying and fretting and torn apart. This is a struggle this time of year. And this woman identifies with this. This first woman in the store, she identifies with this. I identify with this. I get it. She loses her husband. She says, I've done the right thing. I can remember my dad saying that. Man, we've tithed. Honey, how many of you know when you're kids, you listen to more than parents think, right? And we were listening, and we were saying, oh boy, this is tough stuff going on right here. We'd be in the next room over, and this woman is going through the same thing. 2 Kings in chapter 4, she's going through the same thing. She loses her husband. She loses her husband. Maybe that woman's here this morning. Can that woman come up here? That poor woman that just lost her husband. Give Cheryl a hand. A little illustration. She loses her husband, but not only does she lose her husband, that's bad. My connection, my rhythm, I whisper in her ear. She knows how I feel. I don't even have to tell her. That rhythm that you have with someone that you're intimate with. She not only loses that, but she loses because the provision that he had brought to the family was gone. And the scripture says she was broke. She was so broke. It was a custom in those days that if you had debts and you couldn't pay those debts, they'd take your kids. Man, that's tough stuff. Nobody in this room has that feeling this morning. That if you owed your creditors so much, they can literally. So the man of God comes along and she throws it in Elijah's face. She says, my husband was a good man. We were good people. He died. And now I'm in this circumstance and I need help. The prophet's response was revolutionary. It changed her life. And I just want to know. He didn't give her a dollar. He didn't give her a penny. He didn't pay her rent. He didn't give her food. He didn't take up an offering for her. He didn't do a thing other than say this. He said, woman, what do you have in your house? He showed the broken woman what she already has. The Bible said she'd been stepping over her miracle the whole time. And I want to ask somebody in this room this morning, when I begin to talk about that Christmas, when I begin to talk about that moment in our lives, when I begin to talk about this broken woman, you so identified with it. Yeah, that's me. Speak to me this morning. And here's what I'm going to say to you first. Don't trip over what's in your house. You have something in your possession. You have something of value. You have something of worth that the Holy Spirit wants to use in a miraculous way to bring you from broken to beautiful. And he walks up to this woman. He walks up to this woman and he says, What do you have in your house? And, her first response is amazing. It's highlighted to me in my spirit. This is her response. She says, I have nothing. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been in that type of position? Has your spirit ever been that low where you had nothing to live for? He looks at her. He looks at her. He says, what do you have? She says, I have nothing, but just this little flask of oil. I want to tell someone, you have something. That's why I love, and forgive me, I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but I would rather preach on a Tuesday night at St. Anthony's and preach in this room and any day of the week, because when I begin to speak in that room, I'm speaking to people that might never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, people that are so broken, people that are so lost. And I believe in those moments that the Holy Spirit begins to pinpoint, he begins to show, he begins to enlighten people that would never hear the opportunity that Jesus gives us. Every time you're able to minister into a heart. This week, Benny and I were doing some stuff around the church. And God just laid an opportunity. And I knew, I felt it in my spirit like he felt it in his spirit. And this young man came into the church. And I began to speak to him. And he basically looked at me and said the same thing that this woman said to the prophet. He said, I have nothing left. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing that's worth anything. And I got that opportunity that some of you in this room will get. I got the opportunity to say, what do you have in your house? We led that young man to the Lord. We let him in. I believe I'll see him in heaven because of that appointment that day. Some of you will get that same opportunity. It's Christmas time. That is the gift. That is the gift of Christmas. That is the miracle of Christmas. Not the tree. The trees are beautiful. The presents are great. But he is the present. He is our gift. I want to ask you a question. I want to propose a thought. How does a person get to the point where they say, I have nothing? I'm going to tell you something this morning. And I'm always a little walking that edge a little bit. And I'm going to walk that edge right now. What happens with people is they begin to listen to something the opposite than what God has for them. They begin to listen to the little whispers in their ear. You don't have enough. You can't sing. You can't minister. You have nothing to offer. And it's almost like a molester. The enemy begins to woo you. He begins to groom you until you get to the point where you actually believe, I have nothing. And I speak to someone in here this morning. You've been listening to that molester's voice. You've been listening to the enemy. And he's been speaking, wooing you with those words. And here's what he's beginning to do. He's beginning to cut your relationships off. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody right now. He's beginning to cut your relationships off. He's beginning to cut your reading of the scripture off. He's beginning to cut your prayer life back. So you're left, and he looks at you, and he verifies what he begins to speak to you. You have nothing other than me. That's what the enemy does. But this woman runs into the prophet. He runs into someone that I would love to be my mentor. I would love to have someone in my life like this. In fact, I have many in my life like this. When I start to get a little low, when I start to get a little downtrodden, when I start to get a little depressed, can I get a witness in here? The man of God walks up to her and says, you have value. And I'm going to tell you something, and I say this almost every time I preach, and I will continue to beat this drum until I feel the Holy Spirit lift his hand off of it. You need someone in your life to tell you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You got something. You got something in your heart. You might not be a singer. You might not be a preacher. You might not lead the Bible study. You might not do what you see those other people do. See, that's what the enemy does too. It's comparison. Oh, look at her. Look at him. See, what we do is we begin to compare ourselves with people that are on TV. That's what we do. And the enemy just begins to weigh us down that way. I want people in my life that will say, you got something. You got something in your house. He tells her, go, and I'm a son, so I can say this. We tell our sons stuff like this all the time. Go get to work. Go get the flask of oil. Go to the neighbor's house. Get something. Let's get a move on here. The prophet begins to, he's speaking to the woman, but he's speaking to the family. He tells the boys, go get those empty vessels. Go get them flasks. Go get some empty jars and begin to pour what you have into what you don't have. Ooh, that's good. It's good. It's better than your amen, but it's okay. And she begins to pour into these empty jars, and they fill up, and the end of the story goes like this. The prophet says, now take the oil, pay back your debts, and you'll have enough money that you guys can live off of it. Holy smokes. There's a Mr. Booty, there's a little investment story in there, isn't there? But we're not going to get... He doesn't tell her, get out of debt, you know, pay 2 pennies a week and this and that. The guy actually tells him, go get into more debt. But debt with a strategy. Now, don't say that Ryan said to get more debt. I'm not saying that this morning. I'm just telling you what the prophet said to the woman. He said, go get into some debt that has strategy. And I want to just ask you, and I'm going to leave this lady, and I'm going to be done here in a few minutes, but I'm going to leave here, but I want to ask you one more thing. Do you think this woman actually liked Elijah's response to her? I don't think so either, Stephen. I think the minute he said that, you can let her preach. I think the minute that Elijah said that to the woman, I think this is what happened. I think deep down in her spirit, she goes, dude, will you shut up and just agree with me? Let's get miserable together. How many of you have ever heard misery loves company? How many of you know that your spirit sometimes doesn't want to hear what you need to hear, but she got around the right people. Oh, I could preach that this morning. And he tells her what she doesn't want to hear. Hello. I'm going to leave that alone. I got to get back to the story now. Now to this other woman. Are you with me? So now we're in verse 8. We're into the other woman's story, the rich woman. Is the rich woman in the house? Come on, give the rich woman a hand. Come on. Poor woman, rich woman. The rich woman in the story does this. She says, I want to bless this man of God. And I'm not going there. I'm not preaching on that. But there's a little something in there that there's some value in. She's so rich. See, when people say you're rich, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of drama. It's a bunch of hearsay. When people say it, they don't know if you're rich. Every person in this room is rich to someone. Hello. It's all perspective. But here's the difference with this woman. The Bible says she's rich. When the owner of heaven and earth says, you're rich, guess what that means? You're rich. So this woman, she meets up with the prophet. She says, you know what? I want to be a blessing. All with your bling bling. I want to be a blessing to this man of God. Can I say bling bling in church? I want to be a blessing to the man of God. I want to be a blessing. So she goes to her husband. She doesn't go to the prophet. She goes to her husband. Hello. She goes to her husband and she says, you know what, husband? I'm really feeling like I want to bless this man of God. I want to build him a room. Not just a room. I want to build him a second story suite. I want to put a chair in it. I want to bless it. I want to put a bed in it. I want to put a chair. I want to put a lamp in it. That the Bible actually describes this stuff. I love it. And guess what Elijah does? Elijah's, I wish I had like a plush bed or something. I'd show you what he did. He's chilling in this new suite. Are you with me? He's chilling in there, and all of a sudden, this is what God, this is the type of God that we serve. He's so blessed by this woman that the prophet says, I can't stand that she blessed me in this way, and I didn't do anything for her. How many of you have ever felt that way? Be honest. So he goes back to her. He says, Gehazi, my servant, go talk to that rich woman and find out what she needs. Gehazi goes over to the woman, and she says to him, I don't need anything. Prophet gets aggravated. The scripture actually depicts his aggravation. He goes, Gehazi, you're being lazy or something. I don't know what you're doing. You're not doing what I ask you to do. I'll go do it myself. Walks over to the woman, and he says, woman, what do you need? And she looks back and says, I'm good. Goes away. She's talking with the servant about it. Finally, the servant overhears something, and he communicates what he heard to the prophet Elijah. He says, you know what she doesn't have? You know what she cries about late in the midnight hour? You know how she's got the perfect facade all put up? She looks good. She smells good. She walks good. She talks good. But late in the midnight hour, when nobody can see, nobody can say, this is what she cries about. She cries about, she never had a child. Here's what I realized as I get to my notes somewhere here. Here's what I realized. The poor woman is not as poor as I thought she was. The rich woman, she's not as rich as I thought she was, is she? We let our cars, we let our houses, we let our clothes, we let all the things that the world says does it, we let them trick us, don't we? We let them trick us. I've had the opportunity to minister. I'm guilty. I've had the opportunity to minister to people who don't know the gospel, but because they looked like they had it all together, I walked on by. Here's what happens. There's two different shades of pain. Are you with me? Elijah represents the God who makes a way. What? He does what? He is the way maker. He's the miracle. It's not just a song, church. It's not just a pretty thing that we say. He made a way for the poor woman that all of a sudden we found out isn't so poor because she has two sons. Her seed runneth up to her and call her blessed. There's no feeling like the blessing of a child. Can I get one amen? And this woman over here, she's in the midnight hour. Both crying. Both two shades of pain. And God steps in and makes a way where there seems to be no way. Elijah represents the God of all categories. Democrats, he represents them. Republicans, He represents them. The young man, the not so much older man. That's a good spot. I just had to lighten it up a little. He represents the white person. He represents the black person. No matter what you think. He represents the rich woman. He represents the poor woman. At Christmas time, he represents all who call on his name. He is the way maker. The miracle worker. The promise keeper. The light in the darkness. There's someone in this place this morning. Don't walk into Christmas. Don't walk into this season. Don't walk into this next year carrying what you can't fix. Carrying what you cry in the midnight hour over that no one else knows. God says, whatever you want, I've got it. Whatever you need, I've got it. Whatever you like, I've got it. I want to tell you this morning, he represents you. How many of you be honest? I'm not going to ask you to move an inch. How many of you be honest with me this morning? Just wave at me so I know that I'm not crazy. How many of you say, I have a need? Look at the hands all over this place. And I want to say something to the ones that didn't raise your hand. There's something. There's something. And I want to tell you, he is the way maker. Close your eyes. Father, we've sent your spirit more than once this morning. We thank you that you are the way maker. Would the prayer people come down? We thank you that you are the way maker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness. That is who you are. Thank you that you made a way where there seemed to be no way. Thank you that you got on the podium in the courtroom. Thank you that you walk in to the cancer ward. Thank you that you went and walked into the divorce courtroom. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way where there seemed to be no way. I pray that over every soul in this place. For Christmas, that you would rest the gift of a flow. I'm closing with this. Would you open your eyes? The prophet said, I know that your husband is older. He's lost his flow. I know that it seems impossible. I know he lost his flow. But I'll make a flow in your home. They have a child. I know that you don't want to pour out the little flask of oil that you have. But the prophet said, I serve the God that if you begin to just pour just a little, I'll fill the jars. He made a way for the poor. He made a way for the rich. He'll make a way for you. Can you say amen this morning? I want to tell you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't leave here with a need. Don't walk out the door. It'll take you 3, 4, 5 minutes. It'll take you no time down here. Let the whole, put him, enthrone him. This is a form of praise. This is a form of worship. Coming to the altar and saying, here I am, Lord. Create a flow in me once again. I feel dead. Create a flow in me once again. I want to tell you from the bottom of our hearts, from the staff here at City Church, from my father and mother, Merry Christmas. We love you very much. And we'll see you this Thursday for our annual Christmas concert. It's going to be an amazing time. Would you give the Lord a praise as you go? Amen.